University heads of the Kansas region system have joined together to deal with budget problems they may confront this legislative session. Kansas State University President Richard Myers says on the university leaders' legislative agenda is an effort to restore the fiscal year 2017 cuts that amounted to about $24 million for the institutions.
This year, our big legislative agenda was to restore the FY17 cuts that were partially restored in this current fiscal year, and they were the rest of them, the legislature at least, enacted last year a two-year budget, were supposed to be reinstated in this coming fiscal year, starting 1 July. It's about $24 million, and the legislature, the governor did not put that in his proposed budget this January. So what we have done is the six universities that are part of the region system have gone to all the leaders on the Hill and locked arms and said, our priority is this $24 million bill, and that would go into our base budget. It's about $4.8 million for Kansas State University, so it would make a big difference if we got that. We don't know if it's going to be in or out. A little problematic since it's not in the governor's budget, but probably more importantly, the legislators are worried about the K through 12 bill, the $600 million bill, and I'm not sure they have decided on how. I know they haven't decided at this point on how to handle that. So we're probably several weeks away from knowing how that's going to impact us. But that's the big legislative effort this year from all the regent universities and our Board of Regents, is to get that restoration of $24 million.
And that's really dependent on, as you said, K through 12 then.
Well, I'll go into the mix there. They have to figure out how they're going to pay for K through 12. How are they going to fulfill their obligation from last year to fund this, the restoration this year? So that's the problem. That's the fix they're in. And every agency is like universities. They've been underfunded for a long time. I think our numbers are a $100 million decrease from 07 to 2017 in state funding support, $100 million over that period. So that's every agency's had a similar sort of experience.
If we don't get that money, what does that mean here at home?
Well, we're not counting on that money right now, but what it means is if we do get it, then whatever cuts we have from tuition revenue that's lower than projected, as that carries through into FY19, it would help offset some of those cuts that we're going to have to make to our next year's budget, which units are already, the deans are already working on, and administration as well.
What does that mean to students?
Well, probably nothing directly, but over the long term, if you keep lowering the budget, then, can you offer the incentives to attract the right faculty to come to Kansas State University and to stay at Kansas State University? Do we have to, at some point, look at some of our student services that we're offering for free? Do we have to cut back on those? Those services are designed to make our students successful. When they come here, will they persist? Will they graduate? That's important to us. And so it starts to impact all of that. Our current budget and the budget that we forecast for next year, for FY19, which starts here in July, is down to the bone. And people use that a lot. I've talked to many department heads, and I know we're right down to the bone. Eventually, it'll mean less research, less capable faculty teaching our students, if it persists. I don't think that's going to happen next year, not at all. But if it persists, then we've got a problem.
What does it do? We are working hard right now to lower the number of hours needed to graduate to 120. What does that do to the budget? Does that help?
Well, that's the right thing to do, and that's what the Board of Regents has seized upon that. The legislators talked about it. We are working very hard to meet those 120-hour requirements. We can't do it for all curriculum. What we're doing right now is coordinating with the other six regent universities, so we're somewhat alike when we go in and say, we can do 120 hours for X degree, but for Y degree, a lot more lab time and so forth, that's going to have to be 124 or 128-hour, and we're synchronizing that, so our requests look similar, and it's a check and balance, really, as we go forward. So, yeah, we can meet that, and we should meet it. And we don't predict any particular impact from that.
What about just education in general, lowering it to 120, does that have an impact on the education that a student receives?
Oh, I don't think so. I think over time things tend to creep up, and you know, you add a little bit here, you add a little bit there. It's putting some discipline in the system that has been here previously. And what we're after in the end is student success. And 120 hours is, for most of our curriculum, as the faculty has looked at that, as a faculty senate has looked at that, as our provost has looked at that, a lot of that's doable. And we'll turn out really capable and highly talented individuals. And if we can do that with 120 hours versus 130 hours, then their chance of graduating on time is higher. The likelihood they're going to go into debt is lower. All those sorts of things are positive. So we see it as a positive.
Right now, you're working on a new budget model for the university. What all does that entail?
Well, we brought in the Educational Advisory Board to a joint meeting of our deans and our senior administrators. And through a presentation, quickly discovered that the way we budget here currently is out of step with every other university in the country. So we're taking steps to change our budget model. We're currently in the discovery phase, and we'll be in this discovery phase with several work groups I think we have seven cost groups that look at various costs, seven different cost pools. We have a steering group led by two of our deans, and then we have a core group led by the provost, myself, and the budget people, and facilitated by and a couple of deans as well. And we're in the discovery group trying to get our arms around how should this model look. We'll actually design that here starting in April. We'll design the model between April and July, and then we're going to do a trial run, basically, for about a year. So next year's budget will be done the same way as we've done previous budgets. But alongside, we'll see what the impact would have been if we implemented our new model so people can get a feel for that. And then we'll tweak that as we go along. And then we'll implement the new budget model, but it'll be a multi-year implementation. Nobody thinks we're just going to say, okay, July of 19, here's the new budget model, live with it. We know we're going to be working on that. That's the experience other universities have, that they'll be working on that for 3 to 5 years as we go downstream. So we have it broken down into phases. We're discovery, design starting in April, implementation, or the trial period actually starting in August, and then implementation in June of 19.
This last September, we were hit with a big drop in student numbers. Mm-hmm. How have we addressed that?
Well, the main thing we've done is last fall, we brought in a national consulting firm, Huron, and they're taking a very holistic look at our enrollment from recruitment to student success to university capacity to how we're organized to how we use our scholarships and our financial aid. Are we using that in the most appropriate way that leverages its impact on enrollment? They have about six phases in their process. They're in the middle of the third phase. In May, we'll get a report out that will say, here's what we've seen, the good and the not so good, and here are recommendations. And then we'll have the summer to work on that. So that's one of the things we've done. I think it'll be powerful. I think it's going to help us as we design our way forward in the future. And it's going to be about the whole student life cycle, not just recruitment, coming here to K-State and graduating and becoming an alum, joining the Alumni Association. But as our economies change, our sectors and so forth, what you learn here at Kansas State University, and then you go to work, maybe a decade later, you need to come back and get a certificate, be refreshed, maybe do that online. So it's this very holistic view of this student life cycle, which is really for your whole life, lifelong learning. And so we think this is going to be tremendous. What we've seen so far has been very illuminating. We're pretty happy.
Do we have any real idea of who it was that we lost in the fall? Was there certain groups that made up the majority of the loss?
Well, we lost in-state students, even though we still have the highest market share of graduating high school seniors of any university in the state. Every university lost in-state students, and we did too. Well, we lost a lot of international students, and a lot of that is bound up in the issues around visas and so forth. That's a national debate. So we know those are two pretty big pools. Global campus graduate students actually went up. So, and we graduated some very big cohorts that we brought in earlier when we were growing in enrollment. They passed through the system and graduated, which is what we want them to do. So we need to be more aggressive out of state. And we put recruiters this last fall in Denver, in Dallas, in St. Louis, in Chicago, one more in the Kansas City metro area. And we've worked those areas very hard to attract out-of-state students. If history is any judge, when we do that, we get students from there because all those states have limitations. Colorado has a cap on how many folks can go to Colorado, University of Colorado, Colorado State. If they can't get there, we're a great alternative. In fact, we'd like to take some of their top students, and we will. Texas, same thing with Texas and Texas A&M. There's limits there, so we can get them here. We're a great bargain. Illinois is a place that's looking for students are looking for a place to go. We're close, and we're great there as well. In Missouri, of course, St. Louis and Kansas City. So I think we're doing the sort of things that should show some results this coming fall. But the big results will probably start happening the next fall when we can fully implement most of the Huron, the consulting firm's recommendations.
One last thing. We instituted a program called KSU Unite. Mm-hmm. How does that stand at this point?
That is moving forward with supersonic, I would say. It's a former Air Force guy. Go to the website, check things out. But we've got a lot of programs that are going to fall in line that have fallen in line and are still being designed around KS Unite. So we're gonna keep the tag. We like that. In fact, we just learned that, I think it was Colorado State University, they have something like CS Unite or something, but really flattered that they used our tagline, changing the K's for C's. But so we think we have a great tagline, but more importantly, we have programs that will fit right in there. And helping there is one of our new, under Dr. Bosco's area, are Adrian Rodriguez, who is working with the student multicultural groups. And then Brian Samuels, who's our new Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer, reported on March 4th. He reports directly to me. He's on campus. And when I said we're proceeding supersonically, I hope people get the idea that things are moving pretty quickly in this area, all very positive up to now. So we think we want to be a beacon in this region for a place where anybody can come, no matter what their ethnicity, their race, their religion, sexual orientation, whatever it is, we want them to come here, feel comfortable, feel safe, and get a great education and be part of our student body so our students, when they leave, are more culturally aware and understand what it's going to be like to be in the workforce.
And I think it's important to point out that we instituted this program, but there weren't any real problems that pushed its institution, were there?
That's a hard one to answer because there were things that were happening around us in the Manhattan community. The car painting would be one of those. There were some things happening that made people feel uncomfortable. They wanted to know where the university stood on these issues. So they brought some issues that I think are being looked at nationally on campuses in particular, on university campuses. And we just felt we didn't want to get behind in that. We owed the students, you know, here's where we stand. Here's where the university stands. Here's what our role is, everybody. It's not just students and administrators. It's all of us that love Kansas State University. It's about us making this a better place and being a lot more inclusive. That's our goal. We can do better.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Richard Myers. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.